You've already deleted it from your mind.
So, but the thing is that you're sharing so much information about a lot of things that are not true.
We have mean people in this world, and you have to accept that. They don't like themselves. They don't respect themselves. They don't love themselves. How in the world is it possible for them to love, respect anybody else?
And I think they're also craving for some attention, too.
We had mean kids, and they're bullies. I heard you talking, and I saw the video of that child.
I felt. I was angry. I was so, as a parent, I was angry.
It wasn't the word, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just have one more thing to say about teachers. And I've always put that into my daughter from day one of school. You have a problem with anybody in that school, especially an adult, bring that problem to me, and I will address the adult. You are to keep your mouth shut, and all you have to say to that teacher is, yes, miss, no, sir, yes, sir, no, sir. That's it. You cannot get into a conversation on an adult level with an adult.
Or do like the military, you comply and then complain.
Well, thank you very much. But you know what? That's why I think every little boy and every little girl should attend cadets and brownies.
Uh-huh. Only this morning before brass tacks, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm really pushing for what the Americans call boot camp. I think that the Defense Force, and particularly that little boy who bullied that boy, I believe that the Defense Force should be standing there yelling at him, giving him instructions, not degrading him, but putting him, you know, right in terms of do this, do that. In the same way how they're trained. I think that would be better served.
Well, that's the whole philosophy behind the program of boot camp.
Exactly. Make them, the bullies especially.
Thank you. Thank you. And they really need it. And, you know, the way he was speaking, the young man, to a teacher of all people.
Mm-hmm.
He has no certificate.
No.
That kid has no degrees. That teacher is there teaching. And he's disturbing the class all the time. Well, you know what I say? If I was a teacher and I had to go into a school, you better have a little bell that I can ring so that three big full-size bouncers or security guards could come and eject them from my classroom so I can continue to do the job I'm being paid to do.
And this is why you're not a teacher. But on a serious note before we go, we all should, as concerned parents, push for, I'm not really for the beating. I think that back in the day, maybe that worked when children weren't so exposed to all these different videos. Maybe it did, but I know that there's some issues with it. But now I'm thinking bullies and that little boy who, the guy who made that little boy kiss his shoes.
Oh, my God.
I think that the Defense Force boot camp during the summer, during all the holidays or whatever, put them in boot camp and set them straight. And if they have a problem that is bigger than, you know, then you bring in, you know, these psychologists, et cetera, and give them the help that they need. I'm not ready for the lashes because I think that depending on the nature of what is going on in their head, it could make them worse. But, you know, so I'm not really advocating.
It doesn't work for everybody.
It doesn't work for
my older
that's the thing.
Because they were raised.
Well, it worked for my mom with us.
It worked for me.
It did work for us, and but I'm not saying in this day and age, I do believe because of the environment we're in and all the exposure and different things, you may have to take a different approach other than the belt. I think.
Well, you have to.
Yeah,
you
I think
to.
That
and
is a
little
bit more.
You have to remember that these are corn kernel fed children, not ground food fed. You give them one little tap on their wrist, you break the wrist. You got to be careful with these children. It's best not to hit them, but there's better ways of dealing with the child, because I didn't have to beat my child. My mother had to learn when she came to Canada. She could not deal with me the way she dealt with my older siblings.
Mm-hmm.
She had to reason with me, talk to me and find a different way of punishing me. Well, she knew I liked being outdoors, couldn't go out for a day.
So what
she
do you think as a
to deal with me?
What do you think as a parent of the suggestion about making the parents accountable for their actions? I would every
no,
school.
No, I'm against that. Because
no,
children
why?
Can act different outside, and when they come home, they're little lambs. They're scared to death.
No. I'm saying if your child.
Yes.
Comes to school and steal my child lunch. You as the parent, you need to replace it because that child don't work. If you stole something belonging to my kid, if you did something, you need to be held accountable. So I'm saying you raised your child. Yes, you did your best as a parent, and we don't know when they go there, they could be little bad boys or bad girls. But the point is you carry the responsibility for that child.
Joanne, you live with that child. You know their weak points. They know yours and you know theirs. If my daughter stole somebody's lunch, she not only would have to work for that money by cleaning my windows to give them back their lunch, but she'd have to go up in front of the whole school, I would call an assembly,
and
make her go up and say, I did steal your lunch. I'm sorry. I did have my own money. I'm not hungry.
But that's what
and,
I mean, making
and
you
I
accountable.
Apologize.
Making you,
have
you
to
accountable.
Make a child responsible and accountable for their actions at a very young age because they do know right from wrong.
No, but that Trust but you're right. What I guess what I'm saying is the same thing. You being held accountable meaning you carry the responsibility so you can make your child do X, Y, and Z. I mean the school has their own form of punishment too. That might be a suspension, but I think that the parent now at home needs to, well, if you have to replace the lunch, it means that that child has to do some work at home to get that lunch money back to you as the parent, because you may have to give it immediately, and you didn't have to then come down on your child in order to do it.
My child won't be able. Well, the other kids are out playing ball. My kid would be in the house.
But you got to remember something. There are parents out there. I know I'm one of them. If my children, any of them, two of the girls, did something wrong, I'm bringing them in front of whoever. I'll stand by their side, but I'm not hiding them. But you have parents that would say, not my child, or he's such a good boy, and he never touched anybody, and he never do this, and you know, and he was quiet, and you know, this time your child was quietly stealing. You know, that's the only quiet part of him. So there's sometimes you would hear that from parents. A lot of parents are in denial about some of the problems that the children actually have.
Key word, denial. They're in denial. They know their children. They're in denial. Mm-hmm. Teachers only have your kids for 5 hours, and they should be reinforcing what that child
what
is learning,
learning
at
from
home.
The parent.
But
exactly.
A lot of kids aren't learning anything at home.
Wow. I'm going to have to stop it right there because the previous caller is going to probably look at me and tell me, hey, you got a full hour, which you didn't. So I'm going to have to move on to the next caller, but it's always nice to hear you. Always nice to hear you. It's 1:37, down to brass tacks. You are on the air.
Hello, hi. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon.
I would like to take you and Miss B on the two topics that we're never on just now, right? But I ain't call about that.
Okay.
Okay? Because I totally agree with you and Miss B. Mm-hmm. I am not allowing my child to stand up in front of school, the whole school, to admit or to confess. You deal with these situations, and you deal with these situations by the class teacher, the principal, and you, the parent.
No, you didn't hear Miss P. She said she would make them apologize.
No, Miss P. said she would carry the child in front of somebody carry a lunch. Carry in front of the whole school and let the child admit that I carry somebody lunch. What good that would do? And listen, this is not my topic, huh? That I want to discuss.
All right, well, let's get to your main topic because it's 1:38.
No. Hold on. If you don't got the time, fine. I could come back. 99.9% of the times that terrorist nations and things come out of the military, they had military background. So this boot camp thing that you're talking about, I don't know if that's a good idea.
You're not teaching them to shoot.
I said, military training is not
military. Military training is about discipline as well, mainly. Not only just protecting a country.
Let me get on to my own thing. Mm-hmm. Right, because we could spend bouncy there.
Correct, and we've got other callers.
And I agree that you are nothing, but I just...
We never are. Go ahead.
Good. Look, this is my thing. I heard yesterday over the news, I think it is the VOB, that the masqueraders, the leaders and masqueraders and tent owners and everybody, all the stakeholders in crop over, is anticipating that we would have a crop over next year, 2021. I am saying to the Prime Minister, if she could hear my voice, do not be pressured to give these people any good feeling that there would be a crop over next year. Let Madam Prime Minister, let the science be your guide. Act on the science. Let the science be your guide and take your directive from the professionals who dealing this with this monster called COVID and coronavirus. I am saying we are not to that stage yet. We are lucky in Barbados that we don't have a community spread, and I don't think to open up the country for a crop over event next year, then at the same time, the people that supposed to come up with this vaccine, saying this the vaccine could only be available in the second half of the year. So I don't agree that the Prime Minister should bow to pressure.
But who says she's bowing to pressure? How did you come to that conclusion?
I am saying to you, I choose my words, okay?
Choose them then. Choose them.
But I choose my words. Mm-hmm. You choose your words when you're dealing with cancer.
No, but I'm asking you
my words. I am not saying she's bowing to pressure.
You're telling her not to.
Asking her not to bow to pressure. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Listen, Joanne.
Okay, so basically, if she had the thought of bowing to pressure, don't do it, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's art to be selfish. It's hard to say we want crop over, we want Gavin to bad and reverend and all that. But the monster is still out there, and the monster, if we do a good job this far, the Prime Minister and her office, and the cabinet and the whole government and the people of Barbados have to be commended for the steps we get so far to manage this monster.
Do not. And she was guided by the science then, too.
And she was guided by the science then. So all I'm saying, there could be 10 more crop overs after we get this thing rustled to the ground. Mm-hmm. Madam Prime Minister, if you hear me, I'm talking to you through Joanne. Or through Joanne. And you know that I know your name backward.
Clearly not well enough.
Don't let me call you another name here, please.
That's all right. That's okay.
Listen, Joanne.
Yes, sir.
Joanne. I hope you could support me with this, because the truth is, it is all right for a few people to say, hey, we can get masquerading in the streets. With masquerading, there's no social distance.
May I respond to what you're saying? You said you wanted to support?
Yeah, of course, of course.
No one is perfect, including our Prime Minister. However, so far, she has made, based on the science, based on the team, some decisions. And when those decisions needed to be tweaked, they were tweaked. I don't believe, based on what we've seen, that it would be no different moving forward, that if it meant that you're planning for a festival, there's nothing wrong with planning, putting things in place. And should things change, should things not go the way you want, then you do what you have to do to keep Barbados safe.
Well, I agree with you, Jaya. Joanne, quite agree with you, but you
so don't think for a second that she can't pull the rug. She can, we have to plan. We have to plan life. We still have to plan. We still have to plan around a pandemic, but we will be guided by the science when we do it.
Joanne, what I'm saying to you finally, right? Mm-hmm. Plan, put your plans in place, right? Call all the stakeholders in place after we get the vaccine. That is my
answer. Well, after they get the vaccine, doesn't mean that the vaccine is 100%. But, you know, we do have to take
a
break.
But at least we got something to work with. At least we got
Well, we have hope, which is great.
I don't think the World Health Organization we'll put a vaccine out there if it wasn't trying.
Right now it's 95% successful. Let's hope it goes up, but they continue.
It's a good rate.
It's a good rate. It may go up to 99% depending on how many more people being tested. I think it's excellent. Miguela, thank you so much. I lost my WhatsApp. Can't get it back, but I can remember that Campaign Castle of St. George, they're complaining that this is day six without water. I'm looking at a video here from Lightfoot Lane. There's a big hole and water's gushing, and I mean seriously gushing in Lightfoot Lane. And both of those messages go to the Barbados Water Authority. Had a message from a police officer of 20 years agreeing that persons' parents should be held accountable for the actions of children. And since then, I've lost the WhatsApp, so hopefully I can get them back before the end of the show, and I do apologize if I don't. Down to Brass Tacks, you are on the air. Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Got it back. Brass Tacks. Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Miss Hick.
Good afternoon.
Greetings to you.
Thank you. To you, too.
And to all our guests. A few questions, Miss Hick. Would you say that the recent elections in the United States of America had divisions in it and then factions and in fighting, what do you say?
I said, I'm saying that, welcome back, America. That's all I can say. I'm thinking, I'm glad of the outcome. It was what it was. I think I thought it was a fair election based on all reports. And it's unfortunate that some people may feel different, but it's a good sign that the world may be okay once again. Maybe not perfect, but at least maybe a little bit better off.
Okay. Do you think that the way it was carried out will have a negative effect on the way democracies are being ruled?
I think for 73 million people that voted for the Republicans for that particular president, we do have an issue in terms of how people think. And yes, it can threaten democracy, but thank God it was not in the majority, and that the majority of people voted for President-elect Biden. But it's still scary to think that 73 million people would agree with a president where you can have democracy, I believe, somewhat threatened in the United States.
I just want to say this, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we just saw there in the United States actually is Bible prophecy being fulfilled in our time. It was written in about 2,000 to 3,000 years ago by the prophet Daniel. And it leading down to our time. All right? I just want to touch briefly on the prophecy, the prophetic part of that prophecy. When Daniel says there concerning the image, and just as you saw the feet and the toes to be partly of clay, of a potter, a part of iron, the kingdom will be divided. But some of the hardness of iron will be in it. And just as you saw, the iron mixed with soft clay, and as of the toes, the feet were partly of iron, the kingdom will be partly strong and partly fragile. And just as you saw, iron mixed with soft clay, they will be mixed with the people, but they will not stick together. Now, I didn't want to detail too to the interest of time.
Yes, because we still have, I want to get in two or three calls because it's a full board.
What I will do, I'll just leave that there now and we'll probably pick it up another time, okay?
I thank you so much. Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon.
Right, sorry to be so late, John, I'm running out of my time. I want to talk today about the hotels, but I just want to divert a little, say that you mentioned earlier about your problems with the potholes and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to say that from time to time, I come on the radio and I complain about the weeding in the grass and putting it in the road. And I must say that whenever I complain, there's a call, there is attention given to the situation. The ministry comes out and clean up. Mm-hmm. But I don't want it to be so. I feel that...
What's that noise in the background? You need to kill it, please, to get rid of it.
That.
Okay, thanks.
I think that there needs to be a system where you weed and you clean up the same day, because these days rain falling almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like them to clean up the area. Right now I'm talking about the area in Coverley area or the... in the past Burger Road, I keep going up.
The old Coverley. Uh-huh. The old Coverley.
A lot of things. And they put it on both sides, so making it difficult as drivers. Because we have to both go towards the center of the road, to go in the opposite direction. Let me get to my main point, though. Let me ask you, what would have happened if the government did not prop up the hotels with the millions of dollars to say they were going to inject to keep people working and so on? What would really have happened if the government had left the hotels alone?
Well, that goes without saying. It would have crumbled, you know, it would have collapsed.
All right. So, in the collapse, two things I... One is that they were either sell the hotels or they would keep them. My thing is this. If you sell the hotels, we get money from into the economy. Remember that before COVID, the Elegant Group sold this. I can't remember if it was $100 or $200 million that they into the economy like that. So if you sell it, you will get money into the economy, and the new owners obviously would do the refurbishment.
I'm bringing fresh money. But let me just say this. You know how long it would take sometimes to sell a hotel? It could take a year, 2 years.
It depends on how much you want for it, because actually the buying time for properties is now, because people got to sell the properties for less. This is a buyer's market right now.
But it's also, by the way, important for government to invest or to help out the hotels, because if they don't, I mean, remember, we live off of that. So if government then injects money into the hotels, obviously the returns would then be the tourists and the foreign exchange, et cetera.
Consider, though, that because the government allow the hotels to collapse, and say, quote-unquote, it doesn't mean that we're going out of tourism, or that all that is going to happen is that the hotels are going to change hands. That's all.
But that's still a gamble. That's still a gamble, because I know of one hotel, and that sale is from last year and still hasn't gone through yet. And you know, there can be hiccups. In the meantime, then, you know, people suffering and people at home while the hotel has to open back and be refurbished and so on. Where I understand your point is fresh money, but it doesn't happen like that overnight. However, if the government then injects a little bit of money into the hotels and give them a little ease, they're able then to keep their employees and welcome the tourists, and everything should work out a little bit better for all. But I do understand what your point you're making.
That sounds good, and I guess has its relevance too. But look at another point, right? Mm-hmm. If you, rather than giving the money to the hoteliers and keep them going, give the money, let the workers get paid out, first of all, because they say it was about $300 million. If you pay out workers $300 million, they're going to repatriate that overseas. That money going right back into the economy. So you're going to get other businesses stimulated, because people are going to be buying clothes, they're going to be eating food, they're going to be doing things, right? And you're going to be still keeping the economy up.
What, by paying out the workers, you said?
Because they say, I think the Prime Minister said, if you had to pay out the workers, it would cost $300 million. And I'm saying $300 million, that'd be $300 million put into the economy.
Okay, but sir, when you pay out like 10,000, 20,000 people with that type of money and there's no income coming in for them, at some point in time, it's going to dry up too. So even though it may temporarily stimulate the economy and fill a hole here and there at a supermarket, when people burn that money and they're paying off some old debts, it don't last that long.
Well, okay. Let me tell you, once people know that they are severed, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to go home and put their hand in the air. They are only, no people looking for alternative jobs wants to think that their jobs are on the track. They're going to, you know, be encouraging people to be entrepreneurs. They're going to look at doing something. Look at COVID, and you see how many people came out and became innovative, a warrior or another. So it motivates people, bring out the best in them and make them more creative.
It does.
That is what the country actually needs.
But then you have financial institutions, whether it be government sometimes or even the banks and so on, that money only lasts for so long, so there are people who will need to borrow to help them to become entrepreneurs. It is easier for people in this country, and I think everybody knows this, to get a loan for a car than to get a loan for a business that actually bringing in money, but they can get money for a car that can depreciate. So I hear what you're saying, but to me, paying people out is to fill a hole. But then what happens after that?
Here's what's going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. The tourism industry is not going to close down. So that's the assumption you're making. The tourism industry is going to revive, and these same people are
going to
get back.
But it's going to take a hit. And what happens in between there? The government, yes, is trying to... by the way, there's more money now for the most vulnerable families. I mean, Sandy Lane has helped, the Sandy Lane Trust.
Right.
We know they've now extended it, put in a few more $1 million up until March 31st. However, while you're doing that, giving one person a hand up is fine for the time being, but we got to find jobs for people. That money goes. When you get a $150 voucher and got five children inside the house, people are grateful for it, but it can only go so far. And then you got to find the next week and the next week. We got to find ways of giving people the rod, stop giving them the fish, get them off of the, put them into the welfare to work system.
Actually, what you're saying is that you're giving people the fish when you are telling people come to work at a hotel for which that has nothing to do. That is giving people the fish. That is not encouraging anybody to be creative. You're guaranteeing them a piece of some money when you come, whether or not to do anything. I'm saying give them a sum of money, set up programs to help them to look at the creative capacity or whatever, and develop this side of people instead of telling them, look, be prepared to do a job for somebody else, or be prepared to go to work.
All right.
But changing the mindset.
I agree with changing the mindset, but I mean, there are some valid points, and I'm saying that you're not entirely wrong. You're not wrong at all. You have your opinion. But when you pay people out, is one thing, but then after a while, and they don't have any work, and that money dries up, we then create another problem. When there's a lull period in the tourism business, like now, you know, with COVID, you got to do a lot of catching up. But anyway, I want to thank all of the callers. I do apologize to the WhatsAppers because we had a lot of WhatsApp messages. Thank you, Dennis Johnson, for being that excellent producer, keeping me in line and the callers. And until we meet again, take care.